Welcome back to another episode of our Eagle Perspective podcast. I'm Mike Siciliano, Dean of Students of the Upper School. I am joined today by one of our all-stars in performing arts in both the middle and upper school, and now the lower school as well, our band director and our choir director, Vlad Bogatov. Mr. B, thanks for being here.
I am very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I mean, it's been way too long. I mean, you should have been one of our first guests.
Well,
given how big of an experience you have for a lot of our kids. So let's talk a little bit about, like, when did you fall in love with music?
I actually grew up in a musical family, and I was the least musical.
You're kidding me.
And I was the youngest of six, and I was the least musical. So my brothers, they both have perfect pitch. My sisters all sing and play the piano, and they're, like, incredible. And when we would have, like, practices for church, because our family would participate every Sunday service, I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I didn't play an instrument. We only had this, like, xylophone. And so I would play the xylophone just kind of along with whatever was going on, whatever song we were singing. And then little by little, I was picking up on the harmonies. And I really was a great, like, my voice was good at imitating other voices. And so I would practice in the shower really loud. My brothers would always tell me to quiet down, practicing opera. And so that kind of turned into, or evolved into, just loving and having a passion for music. Then I picked up the violin when I was 8 years old. And then my brother also played violin. My other brother played the saxophone. And then it was violin, actually, and flute. I did band and orchestra at the same time. And then eventually it just kind of evolved into participating in church. I also took, like, violin lessons, piano lessons. And then that eventually turned into my mom was always excited about expanding more and doing more things. So she's like, why don't we get you voice lessons? And I don't know how they did this. It's not like they were able to afford music lessons for every one of their kids. I'm the youngest of six, but somehow they did, because they felt like that was a really important part of just life. And so I started taking voice lessons at about 13 years old, and I stopped at 16, but then I started taking choir class when I was in high school, when I was in 10th grade, sophomore in high school.
Where was this?
Mount Carmel High School.
Mount Carmel High School, okay.
And so I actually went to Sunset Hills Elementary School, Black Mountain Middle School, and Mount Carmel High School. So I was in that that bubble over there. And and I never really thought about being a music teacher or even going into music in general. I actually wanted to be a dentist, believe it or not. And so it kind of evolved into just affording school. I didn't know how I'd be able to afford college. And I remember one day I was sitting in Spanish class, and it was my senior year. I took Spanish my freshman year, and then I took a little break, and I took the second part of Spanish my senior year.
That is not easy.
Live life on the edge.
Yeah.
And so when I was sitting in Spanish class, I was like, this thing was on my mind about colleges and about, like, where am I going to go? And so I remember just walking out, using the restroom, and I started praying, and then I'm like, I really wanted to go to Point Loma Nazarene University. And so I remember calling, and I said, can I speak to somebody who's in charge of, like, the music department? And they're like, well, there's a lot of different people. What do you do? I said, well, I can sing, and I can play the violin, and I really want to audition for something. And so she sent me to, I still can't remember if it was Dr. Jackson or Dr. Johnson.
Dr. J.
And because they're both there. They have a Jackson and they have a Johnson as well. And so I remember I left a voice message, a lengthy voice message, but I didn't tell him who I was or
they had no way to get in touch number. With you.
Exactly. Okay. And so somehow he was able to call me back. And this was Dr. Jackson that called me back.
So they tracked down your info.
They did. And he was able to, I came in, I did violin and viola and I sang for them. And they offered me a scholarship for the first 2 years. They would cover more than they usually cover to help me out with the finances. And then the FAFSA would kick in and and Cal Grant would kick in after that. But so they were able to help me out. And that was just kind of a God-sent moment where in the middle of Spanish class, I got up and God opened this door. And so originally I was like, well, I still want to, you know, do pre-med or pre-dental, I guess. But it kind of turned into after I got my first look at my first schedule, I was like,
don't want to do this.
Nope. God, I guess music's the way to go. And so I just stuck with music. I was a voice major, a vocal performance major in college. And then again, senior year in college, I realized like performing wasn't necessarily the path that I wanted to take. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to, be in one place. Because if I were to perform, I would have to do a lot of traveling. No. And so I was like, no, I don't know if this is the best thing. So again, my mentor, Dan Jackson at Point Loma, I would meet with him regularly, and what he mentioned, he said, well, why don't you work with kids? You know, why don't you do what I do? And maybe God will open the door for you in that regard. And that's when I was like, well, maybe. And so I started praying about it, and I did went through the credential program and master's program of teaching at Point Loma Nazarene University. And God truly did open the door. So I remember when I got my credential, I made a list of schools that I wanted to teach at. And Santa Fe was at the top. And I remember I went on the website to see if there was anything available. And of course, like anybody who teaches at Santa Fe will teach her forever. And so especially if it's music, you're not going to see a...
Openings are rare.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. So I drove up here. I dropped off my resume and I said, if you guys need me, let me know. And they were looking actually for a drama teacher that year.
Yes. Right.
And that's when Corsaro.
And they hired Matt Corsaro.
Yeah. So I didn't know, but at that time, God was creating this amazing
team that you were going to be part of.
Yeah. And so I was at San Diego Unified for those years. I was there for 4 years at San Diego Unified teaching band, choir, and general music. I even taught to make me full time, I taught an engineering class to sixth graders.
Okay.
And that was like, I would come to class every day. I would get on my knees and say, God, give me grace, give me wisdom, just make it happen. And then I would pray every day. But slowly but surely, God was able to make something out of that program. He, by year two, we were getting superiors at festivals. Kids couldn't afford, it was at a tough part of the neighborhood. And so kids couldn't even afford like a plain white shirt with black pants. So I just told him, if you have something that will kind of come together, or as long as you don't pop out, don't stand out, that's what I'm asking for. But they would always create this beautiful tone and beautiful sound in their singing. And it was a great learning experience for me and for them as well, just to really, those years was the time when I was able to see that music isn't something that somebody has and somebody doesn't have. Music is a skill that is, can be developed. Music, singing is a gift that is created by God. It's given to humankind for his purpose to glorify him. Everyone is created to sing. Everyone, has the ability to develop those muscles and their voice. And when people say, well, I'm tone deaf, you know, I'm just, nah, it's because, well, do you sing on a regular basis? Or do you sing to your kids? And a lot of times it actually starts from those beginning stages of singing to your children. Children then develop the joy and passion subconsciously in singing, and then it just goes from there. And so it's something that was, music is created, singing is a vital part of Christian life. It really is, because Christianity is the only religion on earth that uses singing and worship the way it does. Any other religion, it either has music that is not orderly, it's not melody, harmony, rhythm, it's one of those is lacking, and so therefore it's chaotic. But God is not a God of chaos, He's a God of order. And so Christianity uses music in a way that is worshipful to God. And I was able to see that anybody, given the opportunity, can learn how to sing. And then throughout those years, I was doing everything I could do to be permanent. And I did my stoles, my bitsa. I was trying to be a good young beginning teacher.
Which, for people who don't know, that's all the education stuff you got to do to become a credentialed teacher.
And I receive a layoff notice. Hmm. San Diego Unified went through this like major
budget cut thing.
Yep. They were like in huge debt, and they're like, you know what? We'll just start letting people go from the bottom. Yeah. And I received this layoff notice, and I wasn't too bummed, honestly. I was like, God, I'm completely reliant on you, and I'm actually excited about this next part of journey in my life. And this was a year that I just got married. And so
that's not easy.
It wasn't. And, I think it was one of the first trials that our family kind of experienced, but looking back, it wasn't even that big of a deal because of how great and gracious God is. And He, used that opportunity to make it so amazing for me and for my wife. I went to a job fair. So the layoff notice was March 14th. Job fair was March 25th. And I prepared 6 resume packets that I was going to give to 6 different school districts, San Diego Unified not being one of them. Yeah. Power Unified wasn't there. And I had one left, and I was standing and I was looking for Power Unified. And across from me was Santa Fe Christian Schools.
Okay, who was there? Was Kristen Smith there?
And Pamela. It was
Pamela
Kristen Smith
Oden
and
was there.
Pamela Oden.
Okay, awesome.
And they call me over, and they're like, are you, what do you teach? And I was like, again, 3 years or how many years ago, I drove here and I dropped off my resume.
Right.
I'm like, you guys probably already have, you know, a music teacher.
Sure.
Because I knew in my mind that whoever's there is going to stay there until they retire, which is who knows how long that is. And they call me over, and sure enough, they said, well, maybe in a couple of years we'll have an opening. And so I gave them my resume. I went home, and then a couple of days later, I get a call, and they call me in, and I have an interview, because apparently that process was expedited. And I, you know, sometime after that, with a couple of more interviews and a demo lesson, I'm hired and I'm here at Santa Fe Christian School. And it was just how all the turn of events and how that happened was incredible. One being that for the demo lesson, Matt Hannon called me and asked if he could come and visit. And the principal of that school said no. Well, he said H-E double hockey stick, no. and he was like, we're going to get you back. You watch. I'm going to get you back.
Right, which for people who don't know, sometimes the way the public system works is they do a bunch of layoffs, But then in the summer, based on the numbers and how many kids, right, they can hire some of those layoffs back.
Well, actually what happened was there was an unnecessary layoff notice that came a week after I accepted the Santa Fe position. They sent out an unnecessary layoff notice list, and I was on that list.
Meaning you could have had your old job back.
I could have had my old job back the week after,
yeah,
I was or Santa Fe,
yeah,
I accepted the position. And the principal of that school is like, did you hear the great news?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, about that. Yeah. And so it was truly God took me from one system and placed me into a world where the DNA matched.
Yeah.
Like, as a follower of Christ, I can thrive here. And I think over the last 7 years, I was able to build relationships with families and children and just absolutely thrive in the glory and in the glory of Christ, and really develop as a follower of Christ myself, and also help the younger children understand that truly the ultimate purpose is to seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will follow.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible testimony. Having two children of my own, this is absolutely the place I would want my kids to go. One being that they will grow as children of God. They will grow in their relationship with Jesus. Two being that the trials that come our way we meet them, or we experience them with pure joy, because we know that the testing of our faith will produce perseverance, or in some translations it say, will make us perfect. Mm. And so for us to be perfect, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Santa Fe Christian School amazes me how on a daily basis I see how the Holy Spirit takes me through certain parts, even in my classes. So many times I've had students say, Mr. B, did you talk to this person or that person about this? Because we would do a little devotional, yeah, in the beginning. I'm like, no. I said, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there are so many moments when you experience that. And like I said, the DNA is just, it comes together. And then given the opportunity to now expand my role into instrumental music, I can see why God brought me through all of those different schools and gain a little bit of experience here, gain a little bit, yeah, of experience here, just so that I can use that, yeah, for His glory.
Which I think here, it's blown some of our students' minds that not only are you like singing choir guy, but that you have so much musical knowledge with all the different instruments and directing the band. And
it may have, honestly, yeah, honestly, we have such a talented group of students. And they already experienced me through musicals, and because, yeah, they would do like, right, ensemble. And so,
because, right, you're just, for people, you're also the music director in the musical. So,
right.
Yeah.
And so when we would do that, you know, I had people who are in band, but not in choir, but they would still participate. Yeah. And so this year they have me in their band class, and I'm pretty sure that there was some skepticism, like, well, he's just the choir guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they think the choir guy can come teach the band. Yeah.
And it's been really fun. I mean, I still have a tendency to call my flutes sopranos and my clarinets altos.
It's not totally inaccurate, right?
I mean no. But the way God uses and shapes me and my ability sometimes is really it's mind-boggling, honestly, because as I say certain things, and sometimes I can't really even pinpoint the issue, I'll say, well, why don't you do this, and it fixes the issue. Like a lot of times it's incredible how the skills that you gain from the past are only evident so many years in, yeah, the future.
Well, there's so many parts of your story that are incredible. I do feel obligated as the dean of students of the upper school to note, I don't endorse leaving Spanish class to go to the restroom. and then making phone calls. So just to clarify for any of our students who might be listening, but I appreciate your entrepreneurial spirit.
Thank you.
Which clearly paid off for you.
Again, I don't condone the long visits to the restroom. Yeah, right.
It's a do what I say, not what I do situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in this case, it really worked out for me.
It paid off for you. It did pay off for you. And we're super, super blessed to have you, Vlad. And I know, so this is your seventh year with the Chamber Chorale.
Seventh year, yes.
Okay. And then just so people know, we also have an upper school concert choir, middle school choir, and then we have various levels of band as well.
That correct.
You're directing, yes. You're doing the pep band at the football games. Mm-hmm. We have our concert band. We have a lower school band, which is not called the lower school band. What's it called?
We have multiple levels of band. This year we're calling it the lower school band.
Okay, yes, I knew that.
We've kind of shifted all in one. So we have a lower school band, middle school band, upper school band.
Gotcha.
We have a middle school choir and upper school choir.
Yeah.
And there's always opportunities for modifying and expand because kids are trickling in. Like the numbers are growing and it's things are picking up. Like it's really, really beautiful to see that passion for music, but also in that the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Like we have football players singing in choir and
in the chorale, which is our honor choir.
And they are just like, they're thriving because the basses are some of the strongest bass. Like I have one of the strongest bass sections I think that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You
are speaking to a former member of the bass section in the chorale.
I do.
Now, and the standards were a lot lower back then.
Well, you know what?
So
the bass section, where the basses go, the choir goes.
Well, I think back in our day, we really only had one bass, so I had to do it because it wouldn't work with only one person. I wasn't actually a bass. But anyway, was the first year of the chorale.
And look where you're at now. You're the dean of students.
That's right. And I would not be allowed in a room singing to anybody. So that you have elevated the program to a different level.
Real men sing.
That is true. So. That's true. I was speaking with one of those aforementioned football players, and it was pretty cool. This was 2 days ago by chance. And he said, I just did it at first because it was like I needed an elective and I thought maybe it'd be fun. But now like I really like it. And I'm learning a lot. And it's almost like he was surprised by how much he enjoys doing this.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of, I would assume, your mission with the program is, I mean, I think people think about the kids who are already so gifted. I mean, we have a few of those, you know, you've had a few of those over your time of kids who come in freshman year already with angelic, amazing voices. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of neat is you also sort of pull in people who aren't traditional singers, who probably aren't going to have a career in singing, right? And you kind of blend that together in a group. Same will be true of the band. So what's the value of that? Like, what are you hoping these kids get out of your class?
Well, first of all, the desire and like committing to revealing or sharing your voice, which is so intimate and so personal to the public, is already a huge step of bravery. And what that does, it strengthens your core. And so like for men, for example, men of God need to have certain experiences that will lead them through life, that will strengthen their core. And there's so many different like ways you could go about that. But you do need to be a man of steel, a man of velvet. You need to know the word. You need to be able to lead a group. And so what I've noticed that in that experience, when you have people coming in that are like, I don't know, I'm just giving it a shot, see if I could do it. And they come out of it and they're like, they become leaders in something that they weren't completely sure about. I think just what it does is it builds a base of, like, if I could do this, I could, I could do anything pretty much, but it's not, if I can do that, I can do anything. It's, I can do anything that God blesses me with and blesses me the skills with, because all that I do, our mission statement this year is all that I do in word or deed, I do it for the glory of Jesus. So Colossians 3:17. So anything that you do, if at the forefront you have, I want to do this to glorify God, then God is going to bless you with the knowledge and the skills and everything else and the success. Success is part of it, all for his glory.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, it kind of segues into, like, there's this question in my head. I don't know if this is the best way of asking it, but, you know, most people who go through your program and most of us in life, right, maybe we're in a choir as a kid, but as an adult, mm-hmm. you know, for most of us that goes away. Mm-hmm. So what should the role of music be in our lives?
Well, every Sunday, the service starts with worship, with mm-hmm. singing. I think that should be, that kind of sums it up in itself. When you look at what is valued in Christian life, I think singing, it's interesting how it starts in it. We start and we finish music with that. God is, now, this is maybe like my theology and maybe some bias because I'm a music teacher, but I truly do believe God is Alpha and Omega. In typical church service, we start it with music, we end it with music. Mm-hmm. What we're doing here on earth with our singing, we're going to be doing it in eternity. Mm. So students who are taking choir are just, or music, I want to say, I don't want to be, yeah. I don't want to, 7 years, sorry, 7 years I've been doing
yeah,
choir.
Right.
So this is my
right.
first year where I'm expanding into band. So when they do music, but let's just say singing. Students who are singing in choir here in Santa Fe Christian, they're just getting a head start with what they're going to be doing for eternity. So if you look at it that way, what's the most important class that we're taking, that students are taking at Santa Fe Christian? Well, math is going to get them a career in math or anything engineering based, but singing is what's going to take them to eternity and what they're going to be doing for eternity. So I think I may have kind of veered off the core of your question.
Well, first of all, I can't wait to tell the math teachers about that answer.
Well, you
it's
could tell that
be
to
a
the
really
science
exciting
teachers
conversation.
And the English, yeah.
In our next staff meeting, can I bring that up? Hey, absolutely. I want you guys all to know what Vlad told me.
The most important class that yeah. students are going to take is,
you know,
music.
He's teaching for eternity, the rest of you.
That's right.
No, I'm kidding. But I do think it is, like, I'm struck by, I mean, there is so much scripture about music. Whether it's mm-hmm. in the Psalms, whether it's talking about, you know, God in heaven with the heavenly hosts and the angels and the role of music, your point about music seems to play a role for us of opening our minds or preparing our hearts for a spiritual focus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we start and end services with it. You know, we know that emotionally it can play a big role. So the fact that our students are going through your class and able to tie what they're doing with a larger purpose in it. Mm-hmm. Is pretty neat. So thank you for imparting
praise
that.
Jesus, praise God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I can't, and I'm just gonna have to go challenge the math teachers, like, what are you doing for eternity? You know, I think actually one of the fun things about this podcast is getting to hear people in all their different subject areas mm-hmm. tie what they're doing to faith development.
And honestly, I think the math teachers might actually agree with the fact
some
that
of them might.
They might
true.
Say, you know what, this is enough. You know, the 70 or 80 years or whatever this proverb says that our life is here on earth, maybe doing math for 70 to 80 years is enough. Cause I bet you they're excited about having the opportunity to sing in heaven.
Yeah.
For
should
eternity.
We make them sing now for us?
We
just
should
to
do
prep.
A faculty choir. We
okay.
should. And you would be in.
I'm in for supporting you and getting other people to be
the
part
bass
of it.
Section leader.
Yeah. No,
and then we'll get Matt Cristaro as a tenor.
He'd be in for sure.
And
okay, let me ask you, tell us a little bit about some of the opportunities our kids have in your program and specifically with travel. I mean, I know for me going back a long time, that was a big part of it. You guys do some festivals. Mm-hmm. Historically, there's been trips really all over the world,
yeah.
Which I know the last few years has been a little more difficult for obvious reasons, but what are some of the fun standout experiences that your groups have been able to be part of?
So every year, the choirs, middle school and upper school, they participate in a festival. Usually it'll be in Irvine or, you know, LA County. The reason why I go there is because there's Disneyland that we'll go to afterwards or Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. So we'll usually do that. And a couple of years ago, we did a heritage festival with chorale, and we did very well. And we usually do fairly well, but in this one we did well. And this was the first year I was trying out this festival, and the kids got a superior rating. And the people who are in charge of it, which was World Strides, it was under World Strides. Yeah. They put together like groups that would perform at Carnegie Hall. And so they've reached out to me over the summer, and they invited us to perform at Carnegie Hall. And so we went last year to New York City and we performed there with our choir.
That's awesome.
And then I try to implement other opportunities for obviously the kids to do. One year we didn't fly anywhere, but we just locally, we did a missions kind of trip a couple of days, like a weekend at City Heights. So kids have a plethora of different opportunities to perform and do concerts. We obviously do 3 concerts a year here in Santa Fe Christian on campus, but we also we'll do the festivals. And then when opportunities come along, I just pray about it. And if it's international, we'll go international. If it's domestic, we'll do something domestic. But it's really exciting. That's a big part of the group as well, is because that's what develops camaraderie and that unity with one another. And kids, it's incredible. It's not just a friendship where they're friends, but they pray for one another. You know, we have a choir chaplain that this year it's Alicia Haynes, and she does a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Leading devotionals every day, every class. And so we just, that camaraderie in those trips is what is really at value. And so we continue to travel, and same thing with band. Band went to Sydney, Australia, and they're performing the Opera House with Mr. Hall. But yeah, I'm always looking for opportunities to travel and engage the kids in those kinds of ways.
Yeah, awesome. What else?
Nothing. Oh my God, it's so okay. Beautiful, Vlad. It's awesome. So beautiful.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah.
Crushed it. Vlad. Okay, we'll wrap it up.
All right.
Okay. Well, Vlad, I know our kids are incredibly lucky to get to be around you, and they are fiercely loyal to you. They sing your praises, which means you're doing something right or you're paying them really well. But I know from experience how important those experiences can be for kids. And, you know, the fact that, like I was actually just with an alum a few days ago, who's like, is Mr. B here? I got to go back and see him. And I think that speaks very highly of your role in their life. So thanks for what you do with our kids, and thanks for coming on and sharing about it.
Praise God. I just want to follow up with being here every day and working with kids who love Jesus, families that love Jesus, and using that as an opportunity to minister, I think is really the primary focus. And God takes care of the rest. And I usually tell the kids, we want to bring the very best, not so that Santa Fe Christian can shine, but we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Jesus. Yep. And so we want to show our very best for the glory of God. And so I will continue to give all that I can for the glory of God and for the progression of his kingdom. Because I want our kids to seek first the kingdom and allow all things to fall in place, because that's what God will do.
I mean, amen. Let's roll the credits.
Let's do
nothing
it.
Left to say.
Yeah.
thank you so much, Vlad. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
thanks to you. Those of you who are watching or listening. If this is the first time you've ever seen one of our Eagle Perspective podcasts, we have lots of other episodes. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or elsewhere podcasts are available. You can check out our video podcasts on YouTube. We will see you again soon.